This is The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design.
Welcome, everyone. Our guest today is Werner Zimmermann, a professor in the School of Creative Arts and Animation, kind of a legend in the School of Creative Arts and Animation. We're going to talk a little bit about why. Werner, you teach life drawing in animation, and why don't we start there for people who don't know what life drawing is and how foundational it is to many of the programs in the School of Creative Arts and Animation.
Thank you for having me here, first of all, Kurt. Life drawing. I guess most people see it as you're drawing a live model. And that, yes, we use the life model because that is the biggest challenge. But I see it as more as giving life to the drawing. And so the model is referenced that the drawing has to become the life. And so what we teach is how to look, how to analyze. After all these years, it just comes down to the eye, the hand, the head, and the heart. They have to learn to see. They have to be able to, all those muscles in the hand have to be trained to do what you want. The head, they've got to know stuff. There's the anatomy. We're heavy on anatomy. And also, I mean, design and all these elements. And then finally, the heart is the passion. It's not only feeling. They have to be able to feel. If you're going to want your audience to feel, you have to feel. So we have to draw that out of them. Everybody feels, but then when it comes to drawing, they think they're just doing something, but they have to be expressing, not depicting. And the passion. I mean, what I love about these students is they come in with a passion, and we want to channel that into their work.
Really interesting. Why don't we jump right to one of your favorite artists then in terms of emotion and passion embedded in the drawing, and that's Rubens. What about him really inspires you as an artist?
Well, his skill, I mean, really unbelievable skill that he drew. And what I love about the greatest artists is I love looking at their drawings because there's this truth in the drawing and the way he looked at the world and discovered things all over the place. It's like, you know, children that are 2 years old, they look at a leaf and it's a discovery. And we leave that behind, and an artist has to retain that. So anything that they see is new. And Rubens, no matter what he saw, it was new.
So in terms of bringing that passion into the classroom, I know you've been doing that at Seneca for 20 years. Everybody talks about how passionate you are in the classroom and the benefit that the students get from your expertise and insight and passion. What brought you to Seneca and what made you really want to give back to students in that fashion?
Well, I taught at Sheridan from 86 to 2001, and I just thought, okay, that's enough. I was never going to be a teacher, so okay, I've done this, but I got to do my work. And I actually moved up into the Bruce Peninsula for a while. And in 2003, a good friend and colleague former colleague at Sheridan said, "Hey, you got to check out this place, Seneca. I never heard of it." And he said, they're starting up stuff here and you really should go see." And the clincher was this, Kurt. I would always try to take my students off to the, you know, zoo or the bone rooms even at that time. And I wanted to take them out, but getting buses and everything was always difficult. I mean, it's understandable. And in the cost. And he says to me, "Seneca has its own bus." And I went, okay. And so I came and I met Larry DeFlorio, who was setting things up. And Larry, his passion. And just meeting the guy, I mean, unfortunately, he's passed away, but he influences everything I have done. And they sold the bus that year, too. So, but no, the school, there was a chance to start something new at that time. At least, you know, I was able to sort of design a program for I taught the same class for 3 years, poor guys. But I took them from first, second, and third just to see if this would work properly, what I envisioned. And pretty well stayed that, you know, other people come and they do their thing, but it's, man, I'm going to miss this.
Yeah, you're leaving after 20 years, and just mentioned to me before we started recording, kind of gave yourself a deadline, because if you didn't, you would probably stay forever. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I think here's the crazy part. I mean, I've not only half or more than half that faculty that I teach with were former students of mine, but I actually am teaching with the second generation. So my very first student at Sheridan in 86, his daughter came here, studied, and now she's teaching here. I got to say, I mean, we really got a terrific faculty. I absolute respect for every one of them. And that's really means something. It really means when you can look around, you say, I'm part of a team that I respect the abilities and who they are. And that's that I'm going to miss.
Absolutely. In that respect, goes both ways. So, Werner, you mentioned the bone room in terms of the importance of anatomy. Can you explain what that is and why you take your students to that specific location sometimes?
Well, I take them to the ROM too, but at the ROM you can only see something, you know, from one vantage point, so very seldom you can really get around. For years, because I live in Guelph, the University of Guelph, the Vet College, has what we call the bone rooms, but they are just a collection of, just an incredible collection of skeletons. And for an animator, an artist, anybody, I mean, structure is our bones. And to understand that, the chance to see them up close, to move around, so, you know, if you went to the University of Guelph, they wouldn't understand what you're saying. Where are the bone rooms? But if you go to Pixar, they will know what the bone rooms are. So the thing is that the students that I've taken there, they never forget it. And you see, also when you're drawing bones, you have to look. And what we're trying to train them to say is what makes something unique. Not to copy it, but to understand it so that you can be creative with it. It's not a matter of copying here. It's more like that creative spirit that we want. And that comes from being aware of what the world is.
And one of the pieces from that relationship that you've established is actually here at Seneca. There is a skeleton of a specific animal in one of our life drawing rooms. Can you unpack that a little bit?
There's a horse here. I'm very proud to say that there's a horse here. And I got to thank Professor Jeff Thomason, who I am doing a book on horses with, and one of the reasons I'm leaving. Jeff had a horse skeleton in the lab. For years, I said, oh, I wish we had that. But the price was high, and I said, the school will never pay that. And it was actually, it came from the ROM. But word is that it was probably a racehorse owned by the Seagrams that was donated to the ROM after being cleaned up at the Vet College because it had been treated there. Stories like this. The funny part is the bones got put together by a guy named Zimmerman at the ROM. And he actually made a mistake. So, you know, no, we'll leave it to a Zimmerman to do that. But the fact is, it ended up coming back. One day I was at the bone rooms, and Jeff said, you guys should have it, and donated it to us. And so it's fantastic because we can do comparative anatomy. When I talk about the human, I can walk over and I say, well, look, this is no different. It's different, you know, conformation, different shapes or whatever, but we're all the same.
So when we chatted before we started recording, Werner, we discovered we had something in common. We had both worked in the North. You have done some work with Inuit communities. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I was really lucky to stumble into a job in the North. I became an advisor, printmaking advisor, to the Inuit of Nunavik, northern Arctic Quebec, really. Anything north of James Bay and right around Tongava Bay. It was an incredible experience that I was, advising them on their prints, you know, the Inuit prints. But, you know, in the end, I think I was the one that got taught most.
And did that influence, you mentioned one of your things you're most proud of is the one-man show you had at the Art Gallery of Hamilton with your works with an Arctic theme, I think, and your parents' reaction to that exhibition. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
I had a chance to have a one-man show at the Hamilton Art Gallery. I mean, and it actually even opened up on my birthday, which was really great. And there were all these paintings that I had done from the North, which was fantastic. In fact, some of it inspired by Keith Jarrett's Kiln concerts. So they actually had a grand piano there and somebody playing it in the background. It was beautiful. And my parents came. And now we were immigrants, and so, you know, growing up in an immigrant family, you know, it's always like, how are you going to survive? And so my parents arrive, and I say, look, isn't this wonderful? And all my mother could say was, how are you going to pay for the frames? So leave it to an immigrant.
My parents are immigrants as well, and I can see that reaction in my mind's eye very very clearly. We are talking with Professor Werner Zimmerman, who will be leaving Seneca after a really distinguished career here, influencing hundreds, if not thousands, of students as well as faculty. We are really going to miss him. So, Professor Zimmerman, you mentioned you are going to be doing a book in your next step. What and it's going to be about horses?
Yes, I'm not an equestrian or anything. I mean, I have done drawings of, or portraits of horses for some people I knew had in stables. And Jeff Thomason from the Bone Room turned out lived up the street. So one day he's riding his bike by and he goes, hey, I'm retiring. And I said, oh, that's really wonderful. And he said, let's do something together because we'd known each other forever. And naturally, it was going to be horses. So we're working on a book called The Power and the Beauty of the Horse. He's doing the power and I'm doing the beauty. And the most wonderful thing about it is that I got, 2 summers ago, hands-on anatomy lesson with a distinguished guy. And as he literally dissected a horse in front of me, while he was dissecting, I was drawing. So every cut he made, I had to make a line. And so, but I am just so amazed at what powers a horse under all that beauty. And this is what we want to convey.
But that's not going to be your first book. You've published children's books in the past as well.
Yeah, I've done a few. I've done more than I expected. And it's been a wonderful career. I mean, not only is it wonderful to see the effect that they've had on people, crazy part is that because of children's books, I got to see all of Canada, like doing readings. I've gone from Tofino to Cape Spear to Arctic Bay in the north. Places like we were just talking, the Paw and Cranberry Portage and all these little corners of Canada that seriously, Kurt, this is going to sound nuts, but when I hear O Canada, I get tears in my eyes because I can see how magnificent and vast this country is. And it has been an incredible privilege to have had that. I don't think anybody other than a truck driver or a pilot from the sky has seen as much of this country as myself. We are so fortunate to have this, be part of this country.
You're so right, Werner. And I know I'm from South Africa. And when we came to this country, my father, we left because of apartheid and a racist system in place there. My father was so grateful and happy to be in Canada that he had a Canadian flag on our porch almost immediately. And he had the Charter of Rights and Freedoms hung up in his office as soon as he could. And he really felt that gratitude his whole life, and he imparted that to us. So I really hear you on the point that you just made. You've been teaching for a long time. Your students, as I said, rave about you. Your fellow profs rave about you. Are there any particular moments or students that stick out in your career here at Seneca?
Wow, that's a tough question, Kurt, because there have been so many amazing students. I mean, sometimes you see a student come in through the door and you go like, wow, I can see you're going to do great stuff. And other ones, I mean, I admit, I've gone like, okay, what are you doing here? Because you really don't show any ability or anything, but they have the drive, the desire, the passion. It's a skill you build. And when they put the time into it and they're doing really terrific stuff. And I'm in contact with so many of them because what they do is really, over the years, they've always fed me. They've given me, I've always wanted to teach what was relevant, And so the thing is that being fed from outside going, does this work or does it not work? It was my, way of knowing that you're not wasting somebody's time. I mean, my point was always, I said, if life drawing did not matter, take it out, get rid of it, because it's there's so much to be learned, so little time. We can't kill them. We can't overwork them. There has to be time for absorption, reflection. There's so much to learn. So if life drawing did not count, or if it had no effect, even what we teach is not for one semester or one year. It's for 20 years. It's for a lifetime. That's what all of us teach for. I mean, technology will change, but the fundamentals, the principles, they remain. And that's what has to be instilled. And so AI is another, the horse is out of the barn, but the fact is AI is a tool. We have to have the students that drive it, not driven by it. And so I'm not afraid of it. I've got every faith in the students we've got that they will be on top of it. It won't be easy, but they will be. And that's our job now. Or your job. I'm sorry.
Well, listen, if you want to stay, you can stay. We'd be happy to have you beyond 20 years, Werner.
Oh, my gosh. This has been a really hard decision. Truly, because this has been like a family. I mean, at the end of every semester, I take a class picture. I mean, a group, and I call it the family photo. And they just all get up on the podium, and we have skeletons, and we have this coyote in the class, and the coyote gets in the picture. And so it's like it's the family. And these students, I want to know that they're okay later on. You can't do we can't do what we do if we didn't care. And so then to walk away from that, but I mean, I want to do some more workshops and stuff like that. Kurt, I just don't want to mark anymore. It's so hard putting a number on these things. Evaluation is one thing, but then when you have to put the number on, it kills me.
I hear you. Well, we'll dispense with that, but hopefully you can continue with workshops, and you'll always be part of the Seneca community, and we're so happy you joined us 20 years ago, and we're so happy to continue having you here, Werner. Anything else you'd like to add today?
Oh, my gosh. Just thank you. Thank you for, letting me stick around this long, and thanks for this moment. It's great to meet you here.
My pleasure. That is Werner Zimmermann, professor who teaches life drawing in the School of Creative Arts and Animation.
You have been listening to The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design, produced by Seneca's Radio Broadcasting students.